Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Tremendo. Gol.
Levi.
Roberto Lewandowski. Barça 3, Inter 3.
Hello and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It's our Matchday 9 recap podcast. Of course, it's Clásico weekend. I'm your host, Matt Clark, and I'm delighted to be joined by Rory Barlow, who I must admit is looking a little deflated after Barcelona's result last night. Rory, how are you feeling?
Yeah, deflated's a good word. So you mentioned forlorn, which is probably more accurate if you're the one that's kind of assessing me from the outside. from the perspective of a culé, it's less than ideal, to say the least. And a bit of a sickening sort of recurring feeling in the pit of many Barcelona fans' stomachs, I feel.
Yes, all four Spanish sides drew in the Champions League this midweek. But of course, that meant very different things for the four clubs. Real Madrid, with Antonio Rudiger literally heading them into the knockout stages and getting a very bloody nose for his troubles. Sevilla also drew in Dortmund. Again, looking unlikely that they can qualify, but encouraging signs under Sampaoli. Atletico could only draw 0-0 at home to group winners or group qualified Club Brugge, and their passage looks far from certain. And of course, as for probably the game of the Champions League so far, Barca 3, Inter 3. First of all, Rory, what a game it was, and it leaves their hopes of qualifying pretty close to zero, isn't it?
Yeah, they need Inter Milan to avoid victory in their remaining two games, one of which is Victoria Pilsen at home. And they have been the proverbial whipping boys of the group, it has to be said. So I think more or less their hopes of the Champions League are out. And once again, I mean, this is a team that's kind of, it's been in construction. I think it was moving in the right direction since that international break. It's really broken their rhythm, as we were saying. And it's hard to reconcile what this means for this Barcelona side, because regardless of what happens, I mean, potentially short of a league win, this season will end up being a bit of a failure now. I mean, they could win the Europa League. That's a possibility, and I think that could add some respect to the side. I think that could be important if they do go into the Europa League. But ultimately, part of the season is a failure, and financially, this is going to handicap them massively next summer if they intend to further strengthen the side.
Yeah, let me put this to you. The Palancas in the summer, it was very, very much talked about. It was the topic of conversation throughout the transfer window. Laporta trying to find every possible way of raising funds to improve the team. And clearly the signings are good players. The team has improved, but of course, a couple of those were unavailable for this match, notably in defence, which of course we might come on to shortly. But let me put this to you. It was a gamble, and if they, as expected, fail to qualify, it probably won't have paid off. But would you agree that it's probably a gamble that was worth taking anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you can talk yourself into saying that this was a gamble worth taking at the start of the summer, then you have to be prepared to deal with the consequences. I think also this was a summer that I don't expect Barcelona to have a similar summer, not just because of the missing money that won't appear from the Champions League this season, but in terms of this was a summer to kind of rebuild the side. They wanted Koundé and Araujo. Those are sort of players that will be there for a long time. You've got the likes of Lewandowski, who probably still has 2 or 3 years in him at the top level, by the looks of things at least. And yeah, there was a lot of signings in the summer that were there for the long term. So Rafinha as well, he's going to be around for a while. Ousmane Dembélé, okay, he's only on a 2-year contract, but if he's as committed as he looked on Wednesday night, then there's a good chance that he sticks around too. So I think this was a rebuilding summer as much as anything. So, I mean, I don't think those sort of transfers are something that we're going to see regularly. So the effect, it has to be judged over several seasons. But yeah, this is also a failure. And when you do gamble, as you say, you've got to be prepared to lose and take that on the chin. I think it was a simmering cauldron of factors that left Barcelona out of this. I mean, you talk about the Champions League, the sort of, I was saying about the international break, and before that everything was rosy. I mean, okay, they'd lost to Bayern, but they'd put in a promising enough performance. You lose Koundé, you lose Araujo, Bellerin, Christensen, De Jong, Depay, like it's a long injury list to be dealing with. Then you have that Inter match where, I mean, let's not beat about the bush, by the laws of the game, they should have had a penalty and a goal. There's no debate about that. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure Laporta will not be too happy with UEFA about that. And then this Inter match where, yeah, okay, they were poor and they conceded a lot of chances. We saw a lot of the same flaws that have been on show both under Xavi and in recent seasons. I think that's perhaps what really gets the goat. It's the sort of stone in the shoe that really irritates Koundé more than anything. But there's a lot of factors that went into this, and I don't think you can exclusively put this down and say, well, Laporta's project has failed and this was a ridiculous idea, because, I mean, we're talking about sort of, yeah, flip of a coin things here.
Indeed, yeah, pretty chastening evening. It was all going so well at half-time with Ousmane Dembélé giving them the lead, but within 13 second-half minutes, they found themselves 2-1 down and chasing it. And from there, the counter-attacks were devastating from Inter. And really, they should have made it 4-3 at the very end, which would have absolutely put the full stop on the Champions League campaign. A lot of reaction already from Spain in general, but also in Catalonia, talking about Xavi and whether he has the capacity to be able to overcome the flaws in his system potentially. And there's also a lot of talk about the kind of the old guard and the leaders, or so-called experienced old heads of the team, the likes of Gerard Piqué, Sergio Busquets, both of which were at fault for goals yesterday. I saw you on Twitter today talking about the Busquets debate. It's an interesting one, isn't it? And it's certainly, Piqué obviously is not first choice when everyone's fit, but Busquets, he still is, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And okay, you can complain about him, but we're now through, this Busquets debate has been going on since Liverpool, since Roma, probably more closer to Liverpool than Roma, but it's been going on for 4 or 5 years, and Busquets has been through periods of form up, he's been through periods of form down since then, but we've still seen 4 or 5 managers all continue to select him, which tells you that there's no alternative. Frenkie de Jong has played there before. We've seen him exercise in that pivot role badly. We've seen him be there and players streaming past him as well. I think it's a collective issue. I don't think that this is just down to Busquets. Yes, he has flaws. Yes, he could probably do with a replacement. Would I renew his contract this summer? Maybe not. But these issues did not sort of appear out of a cloud today. I mean, Busquets has been playing in this Barcelona side all season, and few people have really batted an eyelid until the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I think the debate about Busquets, to have it now is almost ridiculous, and I think it's almost false to have that debate now. If you want to have that debate, yeah, have it when things are going well or when things are kind of going fine. But like, this is, I think it's as much an issue with Xavi's system as it is with Busquets, because we know that Busquets does not function in a team that doesn't close the gaps. We know that if there is space on, like, sort of in the midfield and the other team can attack it, Busquets will suffer. So I think Albert Bleyer-Sensat tweeted this about this, and he was analysing the game after the match, and he was saying that, yeah, there's, if you have Busquets and Piqué on your side, but you set them up to go out and play like they have Araujo and Koundé in the side, then that's going to lead to issues. And so I think this was a collective problem as much as anything else. Munich, Lewandowski misses chances. Gavi, gave away a ball in the first half, which very well could have resulted in a goal. Ter Stegen makes a good save from Dumfries. I think just pointing the fingers at Piqué and Busquets is very reductive, although they are at fault, although they are problems. But last time in Europe, as Blaise and Sat also pointed out, I mean, Piqué wasn't playing, Alba was. Alba wasn't there today. And yeah, until you have a proper replacement for Busquets, which you don't, and Frenkie de Jong, okay, maybe you could have started him today, but he was not fit. He was coming off sort of fairly limp half hour against Celta last week as well, last weekend. So yeah, I think just pointing the fingers at the veterans is reductive of a wider issue that Barcelona have and wider collective problems that Xavi has to solve.
Fascinating stuff. And of course, as you say, Busquets has been at a pretty high level for Barca and Spain this season, and Piqué was brilliant against Celta just at the weekend. So yeah, it's a very strange kind of set of circumstances which has arrived, brought Barca to where they are now. As we look ahead to the big game then, it's El Clásico, Sunday, 4:15 local time at the Santiago Bernabéu. Barcelona, for all of their European problems, are on top of the league on goal difference and arrive at this match probably as close to Real Madrid in terms of competitive nature as they have in probably, 3 years?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, I'd say that they were in better shape coming into the last Clásico, to be honest, when they won 4-0. But yeah, in terms of the league, I think Xavi Hernandez would be pretty happy with a draw. I think if you get out of this game with a draw, you stay top of the table. You don't have to worry about a team of Real Madrid's quality. In fact, nothing near Real Madrid's quality for another 6 months. I think if Barcelona can come out of this with a draw, then that's a reasonable result. But yeah, Real Madrid, I think, will look at this. I think they'll be even more confident than they were for the last Clásico when they were beaten, because Benzema is back. I think even though Courtois is missing, this is a team that has less doubts about itself. I think it's more certain. Even though that they were showing that kind of Champions League invincibility at this point last season, that was just kind of at the start of their run. I mean, they'd beaten PSG, but it was one miracle. It wasn't three or four in a row. And yeah, this was a team that I think everybody thought had major flaws in it, even if they did have magic too. Whereas now, I think this Real Madrid's more confident. I think it's more self-assured in what it's doing. I think it has more of a system to it. I think Vinicius Junior is a better player than he was 6 months ago. And yeah, defensively, okay, they've had issues this season, but yeah, I feel like this is a unit with more strings to its bow than it did have last season.
Just a couple of draws, and every other result has been a victory for Ancelotti's side. So they'll be coming in pretty full of confidence, having given some of those key players a rest at the Champions League in midweek. Where do you see this game being decided? Is it going to be in midfield? Is it going to be the likes of Pedri and Gavi against Tchouaméni, Fede Valverde? What do you see as the keys to this Clásico?
Yeah, I think there's one big question, and it's what Ancelotti wants to do. And I think that will determine both the pattern of the match and potentially the results. So Ancelotti said, I think it was last week, he said that this season we'll see several Real Madrids. We'll see Real Madrid that presses high, we'll see them that drop low. We'll see various versions of this Real Madrid depending on the opponents. Against Atletico Madrid, they kind of dropped deep and they, to an extent, let Atletico beat themselves. They kind of just played on Atleti's flaws. They knew that Atleti couldn't defend on the counter. They knew that they were more solid than Atleti. And so they dropped deep and counter-attacked. And as Inter showed, that's very much a route to victory against this Barcelona, provided you can find that space, which I'd probably back Real Madrid to do. If they do try and control the game, if they go head-to-head with Barcelona in midfield, I think it'll be more entertaining for the neutral. Whether it plays out as Real Madrid having that control, because we've seen, I think over various games this season, we've seen them pull out wins, but sometimes those wins have been down to Fede Valverde or Vinicius with sort of a brilliant moment and really pulling it out of the bag. But they've also conceded chances. They've only kept one clean sheet in La Liga. So I think depending on how Ancelotti sets up his team, whether he goes for total dominance or whether he goes to try and hurt Barcelona's weaknesses, which are on the counter, I think that will define the pattern of this match. And if you're looking for a key battle, well, who's going to stop Vinicius, Matt?
Very good question. There's talk that Jules Koundé could arrive to this match and potentially even for the start. So do you think that is a massive bonus for Barca? Obviously it's a bonus, but how big a bonus is it for Barca for him to be able to be directly up against Vinny to give Barca that extra solidity?
It obviously depends on just how fit and how sharp he is. I would imagine that Jules Koundé is a player that returns from injury relatively well, but if he's sort of at his best or something like it, I think it's worth at least a goal for Barcelona, put it that way. And I think it could tip the balance slightly more towards them, even though I think Real Madrid are favourites for this match. I think if you can negate Vinicius' movement somewhat, then that takes a big part of Real Madrid out. I mean, it takes their main sort of attacking threat this season out, because Benzema, as good as he is, and we know how good he is, and as good as he has been at points this season, he's not been the sharp sort of scabbard that's been like piercing teams that he was last season. So yeah, if you can limit Vinicius to sort of two or three line breaking runs where he gets into the box, then that's a massive difference. And you saw, I mean, Xavi Hernandez altered his entire team to put Ronald Araujo on him in the previous Clásico. It worked. So, if they do have Koundé back, play him in that Araujo role. How he copes, we don't know, because he is more comfortable at centre-back. But, it's a massive, massive factor for Barcelona one way or another.
Go on then, final question on this before we go to a break. What is your prediction?
I see Real Madrid winning. I don't think it will be a blowout, to be perfectly honest, but I think it'll be a really good game, to be honest, because I think Barcelona, as bad as they kind of looked in defence, as shaky as they looked, the sort of balance and the weight of this game is completely different. They don't need to go for a result in this. As I say, I think they'll be happy enough with a draw. I think Real Madrid probably have just too much in them, and I think the confidence blow that this Inter match will have dealt Barcelona might be too much. The fact that even if Koundé is back, it might be Marcus Alonso or Piqué in the side, that's probably a factor that's going to hurt them quite a lot. But yeah, Real Madrid perhaps have to seek Barcelona out more than Inter did. That'll play into Barcelona's hands, and Barcelona do not have to go for the victory. So yeah, I think Real Madrid, narrow favourites to win, probably might be a draw. I struggle to see Barcelona winning, to be honest.
Oh, quite a pessimistic take there from Rory. Busquets himself did say that Inter result would absolutely bring them down before the Clásico. So not a good sign there in terms of how the dressing room is feeling. Well, that's all we have time for in part one. Of course, we've gone in depth on the Clásico. But join us for part two when we'll preview all the other 9 games this match day. And it is shaping up to be a fantastic one. Stay with us.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. We are previewing match day 9 in La Liga. It actually begins on Friday night, also in Madrid. It's Rayo taking on Getafe, a little local derby there. We also have a couple of interesting games on Saturday. Girona-Cadiz, Valencia-Elche. We've got plenty of news on the Elche front to touch on. And Mallorca-Sevilla. So Rory, in those four games there, what stands out for you? And of course, Elche have since our last podcast announced the return of Jorge Almirón. Out of pretty much nowhere, this one. I'm, to be honest, staggered that they've gone back to him, given how it ended last time. But, well, we'll see how it works out. What do you think?
Yeah, staggered, flabbergasted, shocked, bowled over, all words that could adequately describe, I think, my reaction, your reaction, and plenty of others to Jorge Almirón's return. He obviously comes back to the club after he was sacked in February of 2021. He managed 24 games for Elche and won 5 of them. And Fran Escribá was drafted in to do kind of a rescue job for Elche. So, yeah, what the logic behind this is, I'm not entirely sure. In the meantime, Almirón went to Lanús and was promptly sacked there after about 6-7 months in the job. Lanús currently towards the bottom of the table in the Argentine Primera. So, yeah, the logic, the reasoning behind this is it's hard to get into Christian Bergeronek's head as to what he's seen from Almirón in that kind of, 18-month period and said, actually, he's the man that we need back. And I'm sure Elche fans will be wondering the same thing, because by the end of his time there, it was pretty stodgy football and it wasn't effective either.
Yeah, I could be cynical, but all I can think of is that all of their other targets said thanks, but no thanks on that one. So, yeah, fascinating local derby there at Mestalla. Cavani still yet to score after his missed penalty last week. How about Sampaoli then? Sevilla going to Mallorca. We know what a tough place to go that is. Do you think Sevilla can get their first win under him on this Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, I think it's set up relatively nicely, I think, in the sense that Mallorca have actually been better away from home than they have been at home this season in terms of performances. The fact that Mallorca will be missing Vedat Muriqi is massive for them. I was looking at their sort of squad because I was trying to work out how they would play without him, because he's so central to them. He is the reference point. He is the sort of third point of the triangle in Aguirre's system. And they have Abdon Prats, who we know is not a clinical finisher, to say the least. He's hard working and he does his job, but he's not something that makes defenders think twice. And they have Angel Rodriguez, who goes by the name of a poacher, but doesn't actually score that many goals these days. So yeah, I think this is set up nicely for Sevilla, a side that will struggle to score goals against them. Kanji and Lee will obviously be a threat, but Sevilla were good against Dortmund. They went toe-to-toe with them. They could have won. Eric Lamela probably should have scored in the second half and given them the lead again against Dortmund. It's a team that thrashed them 4-1 the previous week. And show it so shows you kind of clear progress. They survived against Athletic, they competed against Dortmund, and I think Mallorca, a side that will give Sevilla the sort of protagonism in this game, but won't necessarily. I think they're obviously quite stout defensively, but at home they need to come forward more than they do away from home. So I think that will play into Sevilla's hands a little bit. And yeah, this is a really good opportunity for Sampaoli to get his first win and really start to give some belief back to the Sevilla team that his path is the way to go.
Yeah, indeed. Agreed on that front. And yeah, big game for Girona as well. After 3 defeats against some of the bigger teams in La Liga, they've got a home game against Cadiz, which they must be looking at as a big chance to get all 3 points. And of course, Stuani is back fit, so opportunities there.
Always Saturday night.
Yes. They're so fun. Absolutely tune into that one. Saturday, early game, lunchtime. Tune in, it should be a belter. Speaking of should be a belter, in the evening, San Mamés Athletic Club taking on Atleti. Oh my word, this is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big game, isn't it? San Mamés under the lights is always good, whatever's happening, as we saw against Rayo a few weeks ago. But this is an Atleti side that's struggling there. The pressure is on them. João Félix is vacuuming up all of the sort of media time with his sort of, well, not even his antics, his lack of protagonism, his lack of playing time. So yeah, this should be an entertaining fixture. I don't know if you have any. I feel like this is a game that you want to talk about, Matt.
Well, just the fact that if you're not going to watch, if you can't watch the Clásico this weekend, then this is absolutely one that you cannot miss, because I think, yeah, it was third again. Well, Athletic on 17 points, Atleti 16, so massive game in the context of challenging for the top four. Of course, one or both of Real Madrid and Barca will drop points, so if Atleti still think they might be able to be in the title conversation, this is a game they'd probably have to go and win. Antoine Griezmann, of course, is beginning to be more of the main man now. We've got that contract issue sorted out. And of course, he goes to Athletic, being a former La Real player, and meets Valverde, who of course signed him in 2019, in that summer, when João Félix went to Atleti. So it's kind of come full circle, really, that Valverde now has what feels much more like his home, what is his home. And yeah, Athletic really are an intriguing side to watch. They could have won at Sevilla last week. They've been scoring for fun, especially, well, home and away, but yeah, I'm really intrigued to see how this one goes, because both will kind of be potentially reactive and kind of wait for the other team. But at the same time, I think Athletic could really, really do some damage to Atleti in this one. I really think they could.
For what it's worth, Atleti, still, we're still waiting to see what this team is supposed to be about. We still don't have a personality to this team, or a trait that there's a way of playing that this team is supposed to be going for, to be perfectly honest, because yeah, every week it seems like we get a different version of Atleti almost. And yeah, this Athletic side are far more sure of themselves. They have an identity. They know exactly what they're doing. If you want to look at battles, I think Reinildo against the Williams brothers could be pretty entertaining. Three very pacey players, and Reinildo incredibly physical too. So yeah, I think this will be harum scarum. I think it'll be pretty back and forth, to be honest. And Athletic have the chance to make a statement here.
Yeah, absolutely. What more could you want on a Saturday night, to be quite honest? Well, on to Sunday then, and your pre-Clásico appetizer is at Balaidos. It's Celta against Real Sociedad. Bryce Mendez, one of the form players of the season, potentially the signing of the season, he's back at Balaidos and will surely want to make a mark here. La Real going well. We're not sure how they get on a Thursday night, because this is recorded before those games. But yeah, Thursday night in Europa League, they're off the back of five straight wins. La Real in very good shape, aren't they?
Yeah, La Real have been... I'm nervous about getting onto the La Real train, because we've seen it so many times. They hit November, December, everything's going fine. Can they make the top four? And then come January, February, everyone's exhausted. Two of their strikers are injured. And yeah, I'm worried that the same thing will happen again. But while it's here, we should enjoy it, because they're playing fantastic football. Mikel Merino, brilliant assist last week. Bryce Mendes,
what a pass.
Brilliant, insane. Yeah, it was, yeah, almost enough to get you into the Spanish squad if you don't play for Spain. But yeah, this is a good La Real team. I think they're more dynamic with the likes of Take. I think the fact that Take Kubo's there, and Sorloth, while Isak is, as we've spoken about this, Isak is a more mobile forward. He's more of a technically skilled forward than Sorloth is. I think Sorloth has been providing a nice focal point to this attack, which hasn't really had one for a while. Because if you sort of cast your mind back, Isak was playing, Oyarzabal played through the middle for quite a while. They've not had sort of a central main striker to play off for quite some time. And I think the likes of Bryce, the likes of Take, David Silva, they're quite enjoying having that attention attracted away from them and being able to move off him a wee bit. So all going well for now. They obviously have the Europa League tie. They seem to be pretty focused on finishing top of that group. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on and how they manage the fatigue again against the Celta side that have been up and down, inconsistent. But I mean, at Balaidos with Iago Aspas, you can never really count them out of any game.
Indeed. I mean, Celta have been Celta, basically. So the rest of the match day then, we have some couple more intriguing games. If you don't want to be on Twitter arguing about the Clásico, you could watch Espanyol against Real Valladolid. Big game for both here, especially I would say Diego Martinez and Espanyol, because it really hasn't clicked. We've talked about the goalkeeping issues. Sam Leverage wrote a fantastic piece on that on our Substack. As for Bacheta, yeah, they're starting to score a bit more now, but again, they will need to keep adding points as we get towards that kind of middle stretch of the season when it becomes a grind week in, week out. And then Sunday night, Betis-Almeria. Quite an intriguing looking game here. Almeria, of course, got that win and scored some goals last week. Shocking Rayo, really. Betis stumbled against Valladolid, but you'd fancy Betis at home. And then Monday night, the week rounds off with Villarreal taking on Osasuna. Again, this is a game Villarreal really should win if they want to finish in the top four, but they probably won't, will they?
There's a good chance they won't. It screams Villarreal dropping points at home, doesn't it? Osasuna, I think they maybe took points off Villarreal at the, I was going to say, at the Madrigal at La Ceramica last season. And yeah, Osasuna, they're the kind of side that Villarreal hate to play because they don't mind sitting in and counter-attacking. They don't mind sort of ambushing the box on the break, which is exactly what Villarreal kind of like to do. So yeah, it's Unai Emery's sort of worst nightmare of a team. That's like, it's not a top four team. It's not a team that's going to wrestle sort of the main onus of the match off them. But it's a solid team. It's a well-coached team. It's a team that will make Villarreal sort of work to break them down. Osasuna, I mean, obviously they're inconsistent, and that's kind of part and parcel of not being one of those top squads with so many resources. But yeah, Gobar Arasate's side had a good start to the season, and I think a result against Villarreal here will really sort of set them on the right track again, and make them a bit more positive about that start to the season.
Yeah, a point at the Bernabeu in their last away game, of course, too. And they have Moy Gomez now coming back to Villarreal, just like Bryce Mendieta coming back to Celta. So a couple of really interesting subplots to look forward to this weekend as well. Any final thoughts, Rory, on the weekend before we wrap up?
No, just on that Espanyol Valladolid game, I think I'll probably be tuning into that if Barcelona do get beaten, because I think it could be a tough afternoon for Diego Martinez's side, because Valladolid have less pressure on them now. I think after a couple of decent results, I think Pacheta's getting stuff out of this side. I think Sergio Leon has been good in recent weeks. They're still Valladolid, they're still lacking a lot of resources, but they're now starting to cause teams the problems that I think they maybe did cause at the start of the season, but lacked the punch. And now they sort of have a little bit of that punch back, and I think against an Espanyol side that commits frequent defensive errors, that's a perfect recipe for another disaster at the RCD Stadium. So a lot of pressure on Joselu and Diego Martinez to deliver a result here. These are the sort of games that if you're Espanyol, you look at the budget, you've just got to put them away.
Could never tell in the tone of your voice there that you're a Barca fan at all. Not at all.
I mean, Joselu and Diego Martinez are two entities that I quite like on their own, Espanyol aside. And it has been disappointing to see how they've gotten on so far, but no bias at all here, Matt.
Not at all, no. Could never accuse you of that, Rory. I only jest. Well, that just about wraps it up for this preview podcast. Hopefully we've done enough there for you to whet your appetite for the weekend. It should be a fantastic weekend, Clásico aside even, let alone the biggest game in world football. So we look forward to that. Hope you all enjoy that. Thank you for listening. Please check out our Substack where we'll be covering we'll have a newsletter out on Friday and on Monday to wrap up the weekend's events. And check out our recap podcast Monday morning too, because it's sure to be a good one. And of course, after that, we bounce straight into a midweek round of La Liga fixtures. So the action just does not stop. So stick with us here at La Liga Lowdown. Thanks again, Rory, for your time. Enjoy the weekend. Hope you can enjoy the Clásico too. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Adios. Viene la bola de Toni Kroos, pelota arriba, el remate, gol, 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 Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.